is a quick little video on Chavad Lubavitch. This is one of the most mysterious yet powerful organizations in the world, and hardly anyone talks about them. Jared Kushner is a member. Howard Lutnick is a member. They have influence in Russia, so they're immensely powerful and almost unknown. There's also the same group that when you see the coming out of the tunnels, this is that group.
Powerful religious figures in the world, that he would be the one to welcome the Messiah.
Wait, did we start again? I think I might have fucked up. Oh shit, I started talking. Did I send the...
Not the right video.
Was that the right? No, that was the right spot, huh? Never mind. I had different one. Those at the wrong spot. My bad. Should we restart it or just restart the play? At the very beginning, we could probably just cut right there. I fucked up, but the intro is fine, I think. Because the intro is fine, right? I don't need to redo that.
Powerful Jewish religious figures in the world.
I know why I fucked up. I know why I thought it was the wrong spot. Because I had it somewhere else that was starting in the middle. That's why. So I'm like, wait, that's not where it was.
Okay. You ready?
Yep.
Powerful religious figures in the world, that he would be the one to welcome the Messiah. The Rebbe reportedly believed Netanyahu had a mission from God to prepare Israel for the coming of the Messiah, or in Hebrew, the Moshiach.
Their Messiah is our Antichrist.
Over the next decade, the two men developed a close relationship. Soon after entering Israel's parliament for the first time, Netanyahu paid his respects to his mentor. The Rebbe reportedly told a young Netanyahu that he would one day become Prime Minister of Israel and would be the nation's last leader before handing the scepter to the Messiah.
He obviously demands from Netanyahu to take some steps to hasten the coming.
This is really crazy if you think about it. He's sitting there. This is the head, you know, religious leader in Judaism. He's telling Netanyahu, before he's prime minister, basically, you have your duty to usher in the Antichrist. And what's he doing right now? He's starting World War III. You guys should take this stuff very seriously. This is not a random guy. President Trump goes to his grave. Almost every president does. Javier Milei, he joined this organization. He's part of Chavad Lubavitch. Even Putin, he fired a guy who criticized him. He called him like a death cult, and he fired a guy. They're pulling the strings behind the scenes, and here he is speaking to him like, you know, kind of bossing him around. This just shows how powerful he is. And he basically says, your job's to usher in World War III and bring in the Antichrist.
Which is to make Israel a more religious place and to take certain concrete steps in this regard. And Netanyahu says, I'm definitely doing that.
He's telling him to hasten it. He's like lecturing him like he's a child, saying you're not hasting it, you need to speed it up. It's crazy that he's talking to Netanyahu like, hey, we need to speed up this war, the Antichrist, and look what's happening now. Keep saying Trump's begging for a ceasefire. Netanyahu's telling him to go fuck himself. Every now and again, the one day Trump trying to act tough, I'm sick of it. The next day he goes and bombs him again, and Trump jumped back in line and started bombing Iran.
The Rebbe never visited Israel, not once. And yet, from his home in Brooklyn, he was able to influence Israeli politics. His influence was recognized by American politicians too. U.S. presidents paid homage to him, establishing and proclaiming a National Education and Sharing Day.
Look at all this Chinese meddling.
Please give my warmest regards to the Rebbe on this his 86th birthday.
Menachem Mendel Schneerson was born in 1902 in the Black Sea port of Nikolayev, which was part of the Russian Empire, but now part of Ukraine.
Interesting.
He and his wife lived in Berlin and Paris before fleeing the Nazis in 1941, seeking refuge in New York, where they put down roots. A decade later, in 1951, he took over the Chabad movement from his father-in-law, who died the previous year. Menachem Schneerson revived and grew the movement for over 40 years.
By the way, you should look up and see what this guy believes of... You can look it up yourself. Don't trust me. He thinks, you know, the soul is divine and holy and valuable. And us goyim, we're just like filthy. We're from, you know, from these satanic spheres. We're not even human. He literally said, you know, this is the guy that Trump visited his grave. All these people, they worship him. And he doesn't even think we have souls that are human.
His death in New York in 1994. His followers in Brooklyn were devastated.
Most of them believed he would never die. They still believe Rabbi Menachem Schneerson will be physically resurrected as Mashiach, the Messiah.
So that was like Jesus to them. They believed he was a Messiah, would come back. It also seems a lot of, I've been looking into these mystics and stuff, a lot of them seem like they believe in reincarnation, like Sabbatai Zevi, Jacob Frank said he was his reincarnation. So you're seeing a lot of strange stuff. And this organization goes back several hundred years. He wasn't the creator of this, of it. He just took over. And originally, they were trying to take Israel from the Palestinians. So this isn't something they tell you Theodore Herzl came up with the idea. That's completely false. They were trying to do it long before that.
Resurrection, when he's going to come back in his full glory, imminently, and redeem the entire world.
Currently, the center of the Chabadic movement is in Brooklyn, in a neighborhood called Crown Heights. So it is an American movement in terms of its center, but it is also a global movement. One of the biggest purposes,
yep, I said,
of
Javier Milei,
is to bring those quote-unquote lost back into Judaism.
Trump.
So Chabad has its own.
Bush. See what I'm saying? Like everyone.
All around
Bush.
The world,
like everyone has to go there and like bow to this guy.
Brooklyn,
Putin. Like
the Chabad movement has a presence in every state in America.
Wow.
And in over 100 countries around the world, with a particularly high focus in Europe and in Israel. It has hundreds of thousands of followers and runs synagogues, schools, drug rehabilitation centers, and care homes. On the face of it,
again, they don't think we have, our souls are satanic. They have their own ambulances for only the goyim, filthy goyim can't go in them. There was one famous case where they were at, this guy was, he was going some kind of motorcade, and some drunk guy ran a red light and hit two 7-year-old kids, actually ended up killing one of them. Two ambulances showed up, two, not one, but two, but they were only ambulances. So they left the kid that was just hit by the Jew, they left him there to bleed out and die while they picked up the Jew who had a couple scratches on him and ran him to the hospital. This caused massive riots in Crown Heights, rightfully so, because people were outraged that they would leave a kid to die when there was two ambulances, but they wouldn't let a goyim in the ambulance, too filthy.
Has been for the betterment of Jews around the world. But according to one analyst, its modus operandi has provided a template for a terror group.
One of the high-ranking members of the Fatah movement was praising the Chabad movement in the sense that the Chabad used to send its emissaries and rabbis all around the world, just like Fatah was doing, sending out teachers to Central Asia and to Africa and to other parts of the world.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust those people around my kids.
For over 40 years, the charismatic Rebbe led the movement. His $1 donations, including to Netanyahu, came with a blessing
$1
to his followers.
That's the
and
most,
a reminder
most JS thing I've ever heard. Here's $1 Netanyahu.
40 years ago, when Netanyahu was Israel's ambassador to the United Nations, he met Menachem Mendel Schneerson, the leader of the Chabad Lubavitch movement, known simply as the Rebbe.
He said, you know, you're going to this house of darkness, the UN, which was very, very unfriendly to Israel at the time. They call it the House of Darkness.
Oh, they're unfriendly to us for no reason. They must be antiseptic.
The greatest darkness, if you light a candle, it spreads a great light that can be seen from afar.
This first part of the Rebbe's prediction came true in 1996, when a 47-year-old Benjamin Netanyahu became prime minister for the first time.
Pity how long he's been prime minister. That is not, I think there was a couple years he was out, but for almost all this time he's been prime minister. Shows you the immense power he has.
But his government fell just 3 years later. For a while, Netanyahu withdrew from politics. The Rebbe's words faded into history until a decade later, Netanyahu became prime minister for a second time.
Ha'am rotze shinui. העם רוצה ללכת בדרך אחרת. הדרך שלנו ניצחה.
היא הדרך שתוביל את העם.
Netanyahu's second premiership lasted for over 12
years, all the presidents.
He was eventually ousted by his political opponents. Another setback for anyone who believed in the Rebbe's messianic prophecy. But Netanyahu was back just a few months later, forming a coalition with ultra-Orthodox and religious Zionist parties. He began his third premiership.
These guys are all lunatics around him, by the way. Complete lunatics that are actively trying to do the Greater Israel Project. If you guys don't know what that is, look up. They're trying to take that massive land. That's why they want war with Lebanon, Egypt, all these countries that are in just taking more land. Then they're going to build the third temple and bring in the Antichrist, which is insane that Christians are going along with this. They're not trying to bring back Christ. As a consequence of being truly a free speech podcast, I've been demonetized on YouTube, X, Facebook, and almost everywhere else. To be able to fund the podcast, I rely fully on support from viewers like you. You can support the podcast by going to fightbackpodcast.com, where you can buy merch or sign up to become a member, which will have early access and extra content. I'm definitely not going anywhere, and I really appreciate all of your guys' support. Hey, everyone. I want to tell you about my sponsor, antelopehillpublishing.com. They're a free speech company that publishes books, which would otherwise be censored, such as Culture of Critique by Kevin MacDonald, who I've interviewed on my show. They have lots of collections of speeches and writings by important 20th century political figures that are censored in almost all other places. Check them out at antelopehillpublishing.com and use promo code FIGHTBACK. You will receive a discount and also support my podcast. Thanks very much.
And it's been a tumultuous year. His hardline government has massively accelerated the construction of Israeli settlements in the West Bank, considered illegal under international law.
Yeah, people don't know, this was going, everyone's always like, oh, October 7th, October 7th. There's the West Bank and Gaza. The West Bank, they go along. They're the good Palestinians. They don't resist. They do what they say. What do? They take their house. They rape their women. They beat them. They destroy their trees, kill their animals. Utter complete humiliation. So that's what happens if you're a behaving good Muslim.
It's also provoked massive protests by attempting to grab more power for itself at the expense of other branches of government. The protests threatened to bring down Netanyahu's government. But then, on October 7th, everything changed.
Breaking news out of Israel this morning.
This is why many people believe that he engineered October 7th. He was having lots of political trouble. He wasn't the most popular. So they came in. Like, I've been to Israel. It's almost certain that people didn't get through the gate. And the army didn't come for hours. I can't think of the exact time, but it was hours. And when they did come, they came through with Apache helicopters, sprayed their own people, killed a bunch of Jews. Who do they put there? They moved a hippie festival, Burning Man type thing. They moved it right on the border. It wasn't supposed to be there. But they're like, yeah, guys, go move in the border. These are the despendables. They're the Jews they don't like. They're the anti-Netanyahu people. They moved them there to be massacred and help kill them. And then everything was excusable since October 7th. They faked 40 beheaded babies. They faked mass rapes. And here we are heading into World War III.
A surprise attack.
A massive surprise attack.
Hundreds of Hamas fighters poured across breached border points.
They attacked by air, land, and sea, taking Israel by surprise.
For no reason.
With many in his own country blaming him for the worst security failure in Israel's history, Netanyahu is once again relying on religious language to rally the country.
The Bible says that there is a time for peace and a time for war. This is a time for war.
He even talks about Almanac, which is killing every man, woman, child, and animal. He says he wants to do Alamak or whatever to the people, the Palestinians, the Lebanese. They're openly admitting they want to do complete genocide.
Recognized by evangelical Christians in the United States, who are still able to influence U.S. policy in the Middle East.
Netanyahu took that Bible verse from Ecclesiastes 3.
Netanyahu spent many years living and working in the United States and has always believed in his ability to influence America.
I just can't believe how retarded Christian Zionists are. You're a Christian Zionist. If you go to Israel, they spit on Christians. I asked one pastor who's anti-Zionist, I go, what made you go there? He's like, well, when I got there, about seven children spit on me. That's a sign of utter disrespect. Their book says Jesus is boiling in hell. They killed Jesus. So Judeo-Christian, how does it make sense when they absolutely, one hates Jesus, thinks he's in hell, The other loves Jesus and thinks he's his God. How do they manipulate these morons? Anyways.
Strong.
Lobby. Yeah, we all know that.
יש דעת קהל, יש לנו כוחות קבילים בדעת הקהל שמתנגדים למדינות הזאת, גדולי הפרשנים.
And today, his relationship with President Joe Biden may not be perfect, but that confidence, at least outwardly, is still there.
בשיחותיי עם הנשיא ביידן ועם מנהיגים אחרים בעולם,
Every now and again, a world leader will like talk tough, but they always bow down when it comes. Like Biden would be like, oh, stop the killing, but he wouldn't do anything. He would keep sending weapons, keep sending money. Trump will talk tough occasionally, but he'll keep sending money, keep sending troops, keep fighting a war. It's the Democrats and the Republicans. It's so deep, you know, it's a combination, I believe, of bribery, blackmail through the Epstein files, and assassinations.
כבירה. אנחנו מבטיחים את המשך המלחמה עם עוד תחמושת שמגיע לארץ, עוד אמצעי לחימה.
Our weapons.
אנחנו נחסל את החמאס, אנחנו נביא ניצחון.
We'll liberate Hamas and every civilian there. They're just bombing
Today,
schools.
Today, Netanyahu compares his war with Hamas to Israel's battle with the Amalek in the Old Testament.
Yep.
You must remember what Amalek has done to you, says our Holy Bible, and we do remember and we are fighting.
Man, woman, and child.
The Amalek was one of Israel's arch enemies, and in some parts of the Old Testament, God commanded they should be destroyed. Some commentators believe this is what Netanyahu is signaling with his biblical references.
Amalek is a sign of people, whether they are wolves, evil people in the try to take away people from God, to divine them for God and to take them away from God. He's doing the same thing what Amalek has done. He's doing what Amalek has done. So how he coming to speak in the name of the Torah, in the name of the religion, when he don't believe in the Torah, he don't believe in God?
Benjamin Netanyahu is known to be a secular, but he certainly saw the value in being associated with the Rebbe, whose presence is still felt in Israel even 30 years after his death. Sitting alongside his Zionist and ultra-Orthodox allies, Netanyahu may or may not believe in God, but he certainly
believes in the devil, that's for sure.
Visiting violence of biblical proportions upon the people of Gaza.
And we're fucking paying for all this. Yeah, it's absolutely demonic and evil. And the people Netanyahu has around him, a lot of them are even worse than him, as hard as it is to believe. Like Ben-Gvir, he raped European women that they came across in the flotilla. He wanted to come in and personally like rape and torture them. That's how sick this guy is. That should have been bigger international news, but it was just kind of like, imagine if like a U.S. politician came in when people were detained, like, oh, I want to rape a few of them. It's just insane that that gets blown over. But that's, you know, anything for our greatest ally. We send all this money to them. They have free healthcare, free college, everything we don't have, and we're paying for genocide, and it's disgusting. And there's multiple reasons. A lot of it goes far beyond this organization. You know, the biggest thing is like the AIPAC, the blackmail, but organizations like this are extremely important too. Chabad Lubavitch are one of the main people pulling the strings behind the scenes because they have so many billionaires that are part of it. Jared Kushner, that Trump sent to negotiate the Iran peace deal, is part of this organization. The same Jared Kushner that told Trump, bomb them and they'll rise up in a day and overthrow the Shah. This is part of this organization. Howard Lutnick, he's manipulating everything with Trump. So these guys are part of this organization. You know, I can't tell you every detail of them, but clearly they're an important part of it. But anyways, like, subscribe, let me know what you think in the comments. Check out Fight Back Podcast for merch, more about the show, and memberships. As many of you know, I have many controversial guests, so that comes at a cost of being demonetized everywhere. So if you want to support the program, go to fightbackpodcast.com, and I have all kinds of merch on there, whether it's jujitsu, fighting, political, and other accessories. And thanks for the support.